back to A Closer Look. I'm Sheila Logmina. So glad you're there. If you just tuned in, welcome to the program. We're looking at abortion right now, the abortion facts and statistics. Easy for me to say, huh? It's important to share the truth and to share it. So start with the right tone, because nobody's going to listen to us if we don't have the right tone. But then once we do, clarity with charity, once we have that charity, we have to have the right message. So we want to share the truth from facts and things that will help people, information that really will help women who do believe that what they're doing is right when they help other women, you know, to an abortion clinic or work in one, or as Ramona Trevino, my prior guest in the first half of today's show, felt that she was doing the best thing for girls in need and women in need. She did work for Planned Parenthood, but not in an abortion clinic, but in one that she came to learn she was going to have to work a little bit referring for abortion. And that's what started the journey for her to make her way out of the abortion industry and into the pro-life movement and into the church. That's a beautiful thing. And then give answers for what we believe about life and what we know to be true, what science tells us about life, and about things like the pill and how many women who are on the pill wind up pregnant. And hence, those lead to abortions all too often. And we just need to have facts and what helps women and helps families and helps society. And let's keep the children in mind. A lot of people don't think about them. We're a whole life movement. On that note, joining me now is Dawn Fitzpatrick, director of the Respect Life Office in the Archdiocese of Chicago's Office of Human Dignity and Solidarity. Dawn, welcome to the program. I'm so glad you're here.
Gosh, well, thanks for having me on. What a fabulous interview you had with Ramona. It makes me so excited for this weekend.
Yeah, you know, so much so, me too, Dawn, that I'm going to try and give listeners a little, so I'll just share something with you and anybody happening to be listening in right
okay.
now.
Okay.
But I'm going to try to work her back in tomorrow a little bit, if I can, during the hour, because I've got a special feature tomorrow, the medical ethics, bioethics, you know, the human person, health and care of the human person and so forth. But that all fits right into what Ramona was talking about. Yeah. And there just wasn't enough time, and the message and messages she has are so important. I'm going to try to work her back into tomorrow's program hour as well.
That'll be great.
And it's great that you, as the one of the main organizers, or the main organizer, Dawn, of the Chicago March for Life, have her as the keynote speaker of the Chicago March for Life. So let's give folks details, first of all, on that march. And it got bigger this year.
Well, you know, it's grown just exponentially every single year that we've been doing this. This format started 5 years ago, and then I came to Chicago right after the first one 5 years ago, and joined the board of directors. At that point, we were a coalition of pro-life, you know, organizations, and since then, we are now a nonprofit organization, and I'm the president of the board of directors, and it's just an incredible thing. So we started, I think the first year they talked about 1,000 marchers, and last year we were close to 6. And we there's so much positive chatter about this all over the place. I must be getting about 30, you know, likes on Facebook every hour, if not more. And so many questions and so much positivity. It's phenomenal. I wouldn't, you know, be surprised if we didn't just grow right out of Federal Plaza, which wouldn't be a terrible thing. We'll find another place to be even bigger and prouder. So it's really cool.
You know, I think, Dawn, having been there at other rallies, that Federal Plaza might not be able to hold everybody.
And that's
fine. That's fine. If they spill over, then great. Think about like the Vatican, right? So when people spill outside of those, you know, embracing arms of the colonnades and down, the varying streets around the Vatican, well, that's fine. They're all still part of what's going on in St. Peter's Square.
Right.
So it's the same thing here. You can be a part of it if you don't fit in Federal Plaza, because all we're doing there, well, not all, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
What we're doing there is starting the march by having great speakers like Ramona Trevino, like His Eminence Cardinal Supich, like His Excellency Bishop Hying. I can let you tell everybody else, but you've got quite a lineup. But you know, let's tell people, Dawn, that we're going to start there and have these great speakers to inspire everyone, and then kick off and then go for the actual march, which back in a few years ago used to go down to the State of Illinois building. And now it's doubled, right? And loops back around and comes back to Federal Plaza.
Right. So we just loop around and come back. One of the things we realized a few years ago is, you know, let's build the momentum with the speakers and then have the march and everyone's joyful and singing. And then we kind of end with like a block party with people dancing. And it's a fabulous time. So we do a loop, and it's about, you know, a mile and a half, the walk itself goes kind of quickly, but it's great. We have the Crusaders for Life on the drums, and we may very well have Carmel High School marching band with us too. They told me yes, but I'm still waiting to see. So that would be so exciting to have, you know, bands playing. And you've been there before when the Crusaders were there. They're such a phenomenal presence, and they just love life so much. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And they get everybody excited. So
They do. Don, it's absolutely, utterly contagious. Yeah. There are all these massive numbers of yellow, big, bright yellow balloons that say life on them.
Yeah.
There are, you know, the canon, the orders of St. John Cantius in their robes, in their brown, you know, and then there are nuns, and there are families and small children, and there are people across the spectrum. And they are singing, and they are chanting, and they are beating drums, and it's like, wow, anybody who wants to, you know, some people are stand across the street and maybe shout a few things in opposition, and that is their right. But, it's kind of hard to counter this really joyful message.
It really is. And, you know, it becomes very apparent when you see these, what they're, you know, they're counter-protesters is what they are. I mean, it's hard to believe we're in a protest because it's so joyful. But when you see them, who definitely are protesting, they're shouting horrible things. Their faces are angry. They're wearing terrible things on their shirts. And, I mean, they use curse words. It's awful. So you can really see, like, where the evil is, you know, or what evil does to people. It's certainly a shame that they think they're righteous calling people names like they do, and it's horrible. So but there's only about 100 of them last year, so you know, we had 6,000.
It's so small, and you put it so well, because see, that kind of witness, it becomes clear to anybody watching and listening in society where the human dignity is, where the love is, where the charity is. And I bet if any of us got each of those people, mostly they tend to be women, but aside one-on-one and looked them in the face, looked them in the eye, that's when you give someone their dignity, is looking them in the face, talking to them charitably, what's your story? You know, we would probably find out that there's a lot of hurt, and there's a lot of anger, which comes from fear very often. And that's what, on the writ large, on a larger scale, we're trying to address in society. So talk about that, how these marches become just wonderful occasions to just witness to the society what our nation actually used to be, a Judeo-Christian culture that believes in life, and that we come to do this to what you say on the website, change perceptions.
Absolutely.
In a society that thinks abortion is the answer, though, like Ramona said, a lot of people probably really don't.
Well, you know, and it's really sad, because I also run the Project Rachel ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago, which is a post-abortive healing ministry. And it's so sad that the people need help so badly, because after they have an abortion, especially the women, you know, after they have an abortion, it affects them spiritually, emotionally, physically, and it's not a quick fix. It causes a lifetime of issues. And so they call us hurting so badly and needing forgiveness and needing love and needing to know why their life fell apart after they had the abortion. So, you know, so we try to help connect them with counselors and priests and just a loving community, so that they realize that you did fall off the wagon, you know, as spiritually for a while, but it's God wants you back, Jesus wants you back, and we're here to show you love. So what we do with these marches is we bring people together and we show the joy of fellowship, the joy of community, the joy of love, the joy of children, the joy of motherhood, the joy of being a part of a family, of fatherhood. You know, it's so, all of those things are just imperative to the success of our society, to us being good, sound people, that we just, you know, we need each other. So that's what these marches do, is bring people together. And what I found in my experience, I was a youth minister for 10 years before I came here to take over the Respect Life ministry. And I used to take teenagers to the March for Life in D.C. from starting in Maryland. That was an easy trip, right? We went about an hour downtown to D.C. And then I moved to South Carolina, and I would take them on an overnight trip where we would drive through the night and then drive right back after the march. But these kids absolutely loved it, and they looked forward to it. And we built a pro-life community of teenagers that started with taking them to the March for Life because it was so joyful and it was so exciting. And then we, you know, the rallies that they would go to in Washington were so phenomenal. And just the joy of being together with people who are like-minded and believed in love and life is what this march does. So bringing this same thing to Chicago, we're growing that here, and not only Chicago, but the entire Midwest. We have, you know, people that are confirmed that are coming to Chicago to be a part of this exciting weekend, from Michigan, from Wisconsin, from Missouri, from Iowa, from Indiana, so including Bishop Hying himself from Gary. You know, it's just it's such a great opportunity to bring people together to march in the Midwest. And then some of them go on to Washington as well next week, and others realize that this is a great opportunity to show the world how pro-life that we can be in the Midwest. So, it's just a great thing. And we're there supporting the pregnancy centers and supporting everybody who needs to be pro-life and understands how important it is to be pro-life. So whether they're Catholic or another Christian denomination or whatever faith they come from. I've had people reach out to me that said, you know, I'm atheist, and can I come? And I said, of course you can. You know, this is for all of us. So
It is. In fact, the Atheists for Life go to the one in D.C. as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be diverse, as you say on the website, marchforlife-chicago.org. I've got it on the show page. People from diverse ethnic, social, and religious backgrounds dedicated to defending and protecting all human life. You know, for a long time now, Dawn, I've thought, we need another or a new solidarity movement. And I do not mean the one like Solidarność in Poland. That was a different thing, and that was its own thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, major as that was historically and continues to be in the life of people in Poland. I mean a solidarity movement of coming together, people of goodwill, people of the whole life mentality, understanding it's all of a piece and we have to joyfully protect and defend all human life. Talk about that for a moment, because that's what your office does. Yes. If you just joined me, Dawn Fitzpatrick is director of the Respect Life Office in the Archdiocese of Chicago's Office of Human Dignity and Solidarity. And by the way, she's president of the board of directors of the Chicago March for Life. The Office of Human Dignity and Solidarity really struck me, Dawn. That's what this is about. It's
absolutely
whole life.
Absolutely. And, you know, we as Catholics understand that life is sacred from the moment of conception until natural death. And that means everything in between. So, you know, we definitely know it starts with conception, and we need to protect the most innocent of our human beings, and that's our unborn. And we definitely know that it's absolutely wrong to kill people when they're sick and elderly, just because we don't think they're worth anything or we think they're a burden. Those things are definitely wrong. We know that it's wrong to kill people in the electric chair, or, you know, capital punishment is wrong in almost all cases, because we can contain criminals, and we're not here to just punish people. We want to redeem them. That's what we're all about. And just as that's important, so is the hungry people that are in front of us, and so are the immigrants that don't have a place to live, and so are the people who are, you know, facing natural disasters, and people who live in poverty. All of these things are important, and we need to take care of people across the board. So Cardinal Cupich, in his great wisdom, decided to put all of those offices together. So we have a very large conglomeration of people just committed to people in here at the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we all work together to help one another to minister to life, and that's what we do in the Office of Human Dignity and Solidarity. So I manage all of the, you know, what we think of as Respect Life ministries, as well as chastity education is also under my hat. So, or is another hat I wear, I should say. So Yes, it's but it's a beautiful thing that I'm working side by side with the Director of Immigration and the CRS and CCHD and just everything. So it's wonderful.
It is, and I think our listeners, especially the ones who listen regularly, know that when I have guests on and we have conversations about the problem of human trafficking, mm-hmm. The problem of, you can make a direct analogy of abortion and slavery. So when you take an entire class of human beings and mm-hmm. render them unworthy, life unworthy of life, a class of human beings unworthy of life, there's that. Trafficked people, that's a new form of slavery.
Yes,
the abuse, look at the Me Too movement right now. That's mm-hmm. about abuse. There's abuse of all sorts going on.
Sure.
So you take that. I'm sorry. And Donna, and then you take it away. But in our city on the south side of Chicago, everybody across the country knows about the shootings that go on.
Absolutely.
You just brought up the immigrant issue and migrant issue. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, we have to defend the right to live.
Yeah.
How can you make any case to feed the hungry and shelter the homeless if you can't guarantee that they can live in the first place? But then it all goes together after that.
Absolutely. And, I think I really feel like there's a direct correlation to that fateful day in 1973 when Roe versus Wade was made law and Doe versus Bolton, because the fact of the matter is we were told and we've been taught, a whole generation of people since then have been taught, that the vulnerable don't matter. As a matter mm-hmm. of fact, you can't see them, so let's destroy them. Or they might give you a problem because they might have Down syndrome or they might be sick. Let's just wipe them off the face of the earth before they ever come into existence. So that's what we've trained people to believe since they were, born or children. And so they've grown up feeling careless, and they've grown up thinking, well, you know what? I'm the only one that matters. Heck, we had the just do it, of the 90s from Nike, right? Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I want, I should get. And, and it's always been the American dream to build up everything you can possibly have. And, the one with the most the one who dies with the most toys wins, right? Do you remember
right.
that slogan?
I remember that.
Yeah. So if that's the way people are living, it's no wonder we're killing people on the street, because you know what? They might get in your way and get in your way of whatever you consider your own pleasure or your own desire. And then you see enslaving others because they can do things for you that help you to have pleasures and more things. And this, so it's all related. It's all related. Mm,
it is. It is all related. And it starts with defending and respecting life as at the margins, as you say, on the website of the Archdiocese of Chicago's human dignity and solidarity. I believe this is the new civil rights movement. It's the new solidarity movement that we need. We show reflect the human dignity in everyone we meet on the street, in the stores, everywhere we go and encounter someone. That's part of being people of life as well. This is going to be a wonderful March for Life in Chicago this Sunday. My guest, Don Fitzpatrick, helped put it together. Great keynote speakers. I've got the link online, folks. We've got some breaking news out in California we're going to go to in a moment. But Don, just to wrap up here for just a moment,
mm-hmm.
Speak about that for a moment, how this is taking it to the streets. And then beyond that, all the people who disperse and go back to wherever they daily live and work and just go to school and encounter people.
Mm-hmm.
Being people of life means how we engage people all the time.
Yes, absolutely. And so this is like, I always think of this as like the entry point into the pro-life movement. It's exciting. It's fun. You're in solidarity. You're uplifted. You're in fellowship. You're singing. And then what are you going to do? Right?
So, right.
and some people just say, okay, that's it. But now it's time to take yourself out of your comfort zone and mm-hmm. go help in a pregnancy center, or, feed the hungry, or go out and do something about what this sex trafficking, I really believe that you need to take yourself out of your comfort zone. And if you feel a little bit uncomfortable about doing what's right, try it. And then you'll start to feel more comfortable with it, and then you can move on to the next thing. So that's what something like a March for Life will do for people. It'll take them to a point where they're feeling really good about the people that they can be in solidarity with, and then they can get out of their comfort zone to take care of people that are hungry and needy and dying.
You know, Dawn, that's a really good point. Chances are, if we feel comfortable that we're in our comfort zone, then we're not where we should be.
That's right.
Not out there, as Pope Francis says, on the existential peripheries, on the margins, where people, it doesn't mean across the world, it could be the person across the table from you or across the room.
Yep.
But we need to, if we're outside our comfort zone, then we're probably where we should be, doing the work of, the disciples out there in the public square, in the arena of ideas, engaging people and trying to help all human life.
Yep.
Dawn Fitzpatrick, it's a pleasure to talk with you. We've got to continue this conversation. It's going to be a great joy to be at the March for Life this Sunday in Chicago. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I hope to see everybody on Sunday at Federal Plaza in Chicago at 2 o'clock.
Right. Me too. 2 o'clock. I've got the link online, folks. You can find all the information if you're coming, if you're in Chicago, or if you're willing to come to Chicago. We want to see you there. Dawn and I will be there. Ramona, who you heard in my first half, she's a keynote speaker. We're going to have a wonderful time, and we ask you to come out and join us. I've got that link there. I'm going to keep it there and post it again and make sure you have it into the weekend.